Acts chapter 2. I make mistakes, Linda, just so you know. I actually have already made one this morning. Christy's back there fuming because she's used to me making mistakes. It didn't bother her. I want to show you some slides. We gave a good amount of money to one of our missionaries recently, and for the specific purpose for the Cuelos of putting a roof on their building. You have those pictures. Now I've made two mistakes. And as you can see, what do you see there? The roof is on. Go ahead. I think there's three pictures, more or less the same. Oh, what's that? I don't know where that picture came from. I just like that picture. If you would like a copy, I'll give you one. Okay, we better move on to the notes now. I wanted to say that the Cuelos were very thankful for your gifts because it allowed them to put the roof on. And he said within the next week, after today, the next week, they're going to move in. See, they don't have to have, you know, it doesn't get cold there like it does here. So they'll move in and just gradually work on things as they move in. So the blessing is they'll actually have that as an auditorium, and that'll allow them to do a lot of good things. So let's stand, please. Acts chapter 2. Sorry, Dada. I just love that picture. That was my favorite. I don't even know. Atong? I'm sure that didn't come from Atong. Let me just say that. Boy. Acts chapter 2. We'll begin reading, if you would, in verse 41. This morning's message is going to be very low-key. I'm not going to ask you to do anything, be anything. It's just really simple. I want us to talk about corporate worship. I haven't done this in a long time, and what I have recognized is this. In a church, you have to circle around and hit the same subjects more than once. Actually, some of them pretty much once a year. So this is something I haven't spoken on. I did speak on this in India. Aksa, this lovely young lady right over here, did all the translation work. Sam, I think, helped, but whatever he did was bad translation, so she had to fix it. But we're not going to do it today in Telugu. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's an unbelievable day. 3,000 people getting saved, baptized, and being added to, meaning added to the church. Verse 42 is very much programmatic. And they continued steadfastly. This group of believers continued steadfastly. And this is now going to describe corporate public worship. Now, from the 1600s until 1985 or so, any place in America, if you were a Bible-believing church and you were to wander into this Bible-believing church, from the 1600s to about 1985, they would have all been more or less the same. Somewhere in the mid-80s, somebody decided to reinvent what worship is. And actually, if I even ask some of you what worship is, you would immediately think music. And of course, you would be wrong. That's just an element of worship. So we're going to talk about what worship is. And we're not going to make this up. We're going to deal with Scripture. So this is the beginning of the church. So what did the church continue to do as the church, publicly, corporately, as a body? Well, let's read. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, or the teaching of the apostles, and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. The only thing that we cannot reproduce in this century is we have no apostles. The apostles were a historic group of people who had to have spent time with Jesus and be chosen by Jesus. They were the men that ultimately wrote the New Testament. There's one outsider, which is Paul, but he says that over and over. I'm kind of a guy that's the outsider here. He's unique. If you think there are apostles, you have to be around 2,000 years old. Frenchie is old, but even he is not that old. We continue. Verse 44, "And all that believed were together, and they had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued," again, you get that continuing daily, "with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat or food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved," or daily those who were being saved. We're going to talk about corporate public worship and and the unity we find in it. Everything I'm going to say today was unknown in our kind of churches since the 1600s, because what was established by our forefathers was practiced until some people decided there was a better way of, I'm going to use exact language, a better way of doing church. So if you go into most churches today, so-called, the lights are out in the auditorium. Nobody carries a Bible, including the pastor. We have a rock and roll service, light show, and everything else. In some churches now, they have breweries. That's increasingly coming into some elements of the evangelical world. But it has to be, it can't be Budweiser, it has to be craft breweries. I even heard of a so-called church in Atlanta, Georgia, where the pastor says we're bringing in a stripper pole so we can have women demonstrate their worship of the Lord on the stripper pole. Now, I don't want you to react to that like you're reacting. I want you at the end of this service to understand something. You and I don't make up how we worship God. God Himself tells us how we worship Him. So what we're going to do today is look at two elements. Nothing I'm going to say is new. It all comes from the 1600s. But as Dr. Moritz said, he went through Bible college and seminary and never heard one discussion of worship in his entire life. It was assumed until it was attacked. Well, today we're under attack, so we're not going to assume it. We're going to teach it. Father, I ask your blessings on this day. May this be a great morning. May you bless, and really, Lord, I just want to share and just show everyone how obvious these concepts are from the Scripture. That we can walk away from here understanding, yes, there's diversity and legitimate diversity within worship, but that the elements of worship are not something we choose or not choose. We cannot worship you in a biblical way without including all of the elements of worship. Help me now, I ask, and help us as we listen to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What is worship? What is shared, corporate, gathered worship when we come together? When I wrote this sermon 6 months ago, I thought to myself, what has been my favorite worship experiences? And I have a problem that you don't have. In some ways, it's nice just to be out in the audience. When I go on vacation, if we're in this country, in case you want to know, I make sure I don't do certain things. Number one, I do not bring a tie. Number two, I generally don't wear a coat. Does anybody know why? If you wear a tie and a coat, they'll have you preach. I don't want to preach. Sometimes I just want to be a person worshiping God, hearing the word of God and singing these songs and not have to worry about anything. Is that fair? I thought the Philippines were bad when it comes to having a pastor preach. Dada, it's nothing compared to India. At least in the Philippines, sometimes you know you're going to preach. In India, you don't even know you're preaching. Oh, by the way, we're having a house dedication, Ezra. And your brother says to me, and you're preaching. And we're at the house dedication. Okay. How many house dedications have you done? Worship. One of my favorite worship services I ever had was in Venezuela. There was a new church being planted. I knew nothing about the church, but one of the brothers said, I'm planting a church. I want you to come and worship with us. Now, he said, I didn't have to speak because his English wasn't good enough to translate for me. I said, I'd be glad to go. So on a Sunday morning, we drove out, and his church was in a unique place. It had three groups of people that he drew people from. It was by the city dump. And there was a group of people that basically made a living and ate from the dump. That's not abnormal. There was a second group of people that were the native indigenous people, Jim, that you guys have visited, but they would come into that church. Some of them that were lived closer. And then there was people from the community. When I went there the first Sunday, when you drive up, you look for a what? A building. When I first got there, I'm looking around. There's no building. As we drive around, I see a tree. They had a big, old, beautiful shade tree, and there were chairs lined up right behind that shade tree. He says, we don't have a building yet. We meet outside. That was one of the sweetest church services I've ever been in. Why? Do you have to have a building to worship? Stop. Do you want to worship outside this morning? Yeah, it'd be a quick service. It'd be very quick. By the way, friend, you don't need a building necessarily when you're in Venezuela or the Philippines. Every day, anyhow. What happens if it rains in the Philippines? You need a building. It was one of the sweet services, and it was really weird being outside because everything around you see it. So if there's chickens and ducks and, you know, everything's wandering around and we're singing. We didn't even have a piano. We didn't have musical instruments. But we sang, we prayed, we gave thanks, he read the Bible, he preached from the Bible, look at me, and we had Christian gathered public worship. What I want to do now is talk about two things about worship. The first is this is not in language with me, is called the accidents of worship. I think that should be up there first. There we go. Now, you say the accidents of worship. Pastor, what are you referring to? I'm not using and creating my own language. This was the language of our forefathers. That's the language they used. And by the way, stop. Why did they think about this? Many of them had come out of the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Catholic Church had thousands of things they did in worship. And our forefathers had to say, what's the difference between biblical worship and what they do? Because they have people bowing, they have people crossing, they have oil, they have water thrown on you, they have candles, they have all of this. How do we determine, by the way, no anger here, how do we determine what's biblical worship compared to that? So what they devised, they understood, was there's two pieces of worship. There are what's first of all called the accidents of worship. And the accidents of worship, we're going to have diversity on those. There's always going to be diversity on the things that are accidental or incidental, if you so prefer. Such as, well, I think I have a definition of the accidents. Is that correct, Christy? The accidents of worship are these. The parts of worship that are not essential and tend to vary from place to place, time to time. You say, what would be an accident of worship? Time. What time do you worship? Do you know churches don't all worship at the same time? Actually, in the Philippines, Dada, I have noticed churches without air conditioning tend to have very early church services. Anybody have any idea why that would be? You get there in the morning early, it's cooler. Pastor Palanong, I love him, I love his church. Every time I go there, it's like, man, you guys start church early. No, they don't. They start church because it's cooler. Now, what time do we have church? Excuse me, what time are we supposed to start church? About 9:50 in the morning is Sunday school. Church service starts at 11. It's supposed to be done by whenever. And we have church service on Sunday night for 6 p.m. Now, I grew up in a church in southern Illinois. This was our church service time. Sunday school was 10 a.m. Morning church service was 11. And Sunday night, 7:45. If you're farmers, you got to do your farm work. And you got to take care of your animals. So we had church. Could you imagine coming here at 7:45? Some of you are thinking, that's the time I want to go out to Culver's and eat. Yes, 7:45. By the way, try to get your chores done by getting home at 1 o'clock or 1:30, eating lunch, taking care of your animals. You're not coming back at 6. You got to have a longer gap. Friend, I'm sorry to bore some of you. I got a question. Is it essential what time your church service is? Yes or no? Of course not. That's an accident of worship. It's not. That's something that the church decides according to where the church is. I will say this. I thought about changing church service times here. Do you remember when the gasoline got to over $4 a gallon? I sincerely, if it would have continued, I thought we should just drop the Sunday night and do Sunday night on Sunday morning. Why? Wasting too much money in gas. Yes. Well, I would tell you the church services in Romania, because since we have folks from Romania here, I will only tell you the church services in Romania, the only thing I remember about them when I was there was Romanian church services are very short. Is that correct? No, they have long services. And my first Sunday there, I was in Emmanuel Baptist in Oradea. And I mean, it was like, oh my goodness, get done with, and I'm jet lagged and I'm down in the front and it's a big church and great preaching, but I don't understand any of it. And they had a guy that preached the short message, then they had the medium message, and then Paul Negrutz got up and preached the long message, and he preached on the Trinity, and the translator didn't know how to translate anything about the Trinity. It was a long service. How about Sunday night? Just as long. I was in another church that night, and then, of course, since I was a preacher, he looked at Dr. Yarborough and he says, you're preaching first, you're preaching second. Oh, great. Long. Haitian church services are very short. Franco will start at 4 o'clock. Every time I'm not here, if I'm preaching for Pastor Franco, and he has to preach, just remember this, do not feel sorry for him. You guys are home and in bed before I get up to preach. That's the truth. Normally, you're home long time before I stand. Why? Because Haitians liked a lot of singing. And a lot of choirs and long services. Is that bad? That's an accident of worship, friend. That's something that's neither here nor there. Churches and groups, some church services will be longer, some will be shorter. It's just the nature of how things work. How about this? How many songs do you sing? How many songs do we sing in this church? How many? We sing 4 songs, and we sing what else? Usually a special, choir special, and we sing what else? Normally some sort of a special, that's 6. And we sing a what? Doxology, and we sing? Do you know in many Baptist churches, if you go there, they sing 3 songs, first and last stanza. We sing 8, or portions of 8. Is we more biblical because we sing more? No. That's an accident of things. Really doesn't make a difference. How many services a week do you have? Do you have to have a Sunday night service? Do you have to have a Wednesday night service? And by the way, we do have Sunday night and we do have Wednesday night. Some churches have their Wednesday night on Thursday night, or they have it on Tuesday night. That's an accident of worship. It's not essential, it's just accidental. In that setting, in that church, they meet this amount of times. I personally like Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If I was a better preacher, we would do something on a Friday night and have a special just pure Bible preaching and teaching. But I'm not capable of doing all of that. I like to come together. How about this? What language should we have in a church? Let's ask another question. What's the language of heaven? Somebody help me. Nobody's speaking. What's the language of heaven? Atong? Is it going to be Tagalog? We know it's not going to be Ilocano. We know that for sure. Anything FBI speaks, we know it's not going to be that. Is it going to be Kapampangan? Tagalog. English. Let's vote for English. Sold. I always used to think it was English because I always felt that Americans are too dumb to learn more than one language. So I figured it's English. My friend, if you go to other countries, you know they do speak different languages. Which is biblical? You say, Pastor, this is really dumb. No, no, you're missing the point. Hey, if you go to a church service and you got saved learning English, what would happen if you drop yourself off in another country and every service you have to go to church and you have to hear the word of God in a different language? Would you like that? Linda, your first language back here is what? Is French your first language, or do you speak a dialect also? Does anybody else in here speak your dialect? Nobody speaks your dialect. That's part of being from Cameroon. Everybody speaks a language unknown to everybody else. So French, is it your first language, or which? How would that, or would they both be at the same time? Your dialect and French. Officials French. How hard is it for you to listen to English all the time? Would you rather hear it in French? Be impossible, wouldn't it? My friend, the accidents of worship are the language we use in a service. God is not limited to one language. I asked you, and some of you don't reply, the language of heaven is simple. Look at me. It's all of them. In heaven, we'll hear every language, even your dialect, Linda. How do I know this? Because you're saved, and you'll be in heaven, and guess what? You'll be able to speak your dialect. Now you say, will I be able to speak it? I don't know, but I think I'll be able to understand it. And I'm sure the Lord can understand your dialect. How about that? The language of heaven is all the languages. How about the location? Do we have to have a certain location? How about a building? Well, buildings are nice when you live in the Chicagoland area in the wintertime. They're also nice in the summer to keep mosquitoes away. And it's also nice to have air conditioning so guys' bald heads don't burn. But those are the accidents of worship. Now what I want to do is move on to number two, the elements of worship. The accidents are going to change. So when I go to the Philippines, I expect some things to be different than they are here. And some of the churches, Noel, I don't know what your churches do. Some of the churches, they speak Tagalog a lot. Some of the churches in Manila speak Taglish. Some of the other areas down in the south, they're going to speak Cebuano. That's an accident. It's the native language, and that's going to be unique. But what cannot change and what we find unity in are the elements of biblical worship. The elements of worship are found every place. The scripture regulates worship. It does so by command, by teaching, by example. So the scripture, we call that the regulatory principle. So our forefathers, they looked at all the... Wait a minute. The Roman Catholic Church in 1500s, their service was in what language? And how many people do you think spoke Latin in England? None of the common people. Actually, The way you knew somebody was educated was he or she spoke Latin. The average person didn't understand one thing that happened in the entire church service. Part of it was they brought the church service into the vernacular. But the big fight was over all of this other stuff. Do we have an altar where the priest does magic? Hey, I got a question for you. Do we have to have an invitation where people from out there come forward? Well, you're going to be able to tell me because the elements of worship are found in this text. All of them. So in the very beginning of the church, we find the elements of worship. I'm going to say four things about that broadly. Number one, the elements were all there and in place in the very beginning. The text we read, all of the elements of worship that churches, Bible-believing churches, have always practiced were already in place. Nothing had to be changed. Number two, the elements were obvious then and are obvious now. We don't have to wonder what those elements are. So as you read behind me, the first fundamental element, of course, was worship, gathered public worship, was primarily done on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday, the day of the resurrection. From the very beginning, Christians didn't meet on Monday to have worship. They met on the Lord's Day, Sunday, because that was the day of the resurrection, and all Christian, nobody changed from Saturday to Sunday. Sabbath day was Saturday for the Jewish believers in the Old Testament. It was something God appointed for them. But Christians immediately began to worship on the Lord's Day, the day of the resurrection. So, Matthew chapter 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, that Sunday, the Lord's Day. Mark 16, and when the Sabbath was passed, verse 2, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, Wait a minute. We now have churches that have worship on Saturday night. I love you. I don't hate anybody. But Christians have always met on the Lord's Day. Always. You say that interrupts. I like to sleep in on the Lord's Day. God bless you. Christians meet on the Lord's Day. We don't find another time that's more convenient. The Lord's Day was the center of biblical worship. From the Bible, throughout the centuries. Luke 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning. That's when they found that the tomb was open and Jesus had been resurrected. John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. And Acts chapter 20, very important text. It says, and we, Luke includes himself in this because Luke is with Paul at this point. We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto Troas in 5 days where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, the first day of the week is? What is the Sabbath day? It's the which day of the week? The seventh day of the week. You work 6 days. In the Jewish economy, the Old Testament, you took off the last day. I have no problem with the principle, but the Sabbath day was God's sign to Israel. The church is the first day of the week. Read the text again. Verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. See, this is not talking about evangelism. Some people will read the New Testament. This is what they do. They'll say, well, the Christians still went to the temple. Hey, is Robert Mutia, is he on the base this morning? By the way, we have people here that go other places to evangelize right now. Yes or no? Of course. We're all for that. Jim and Fawn, they run a ministry on the base on Thursday night with Awana. By the way, the early Christians went to the temple. They went every place they could. They went to synagogues. They went to places they could reach people. But when the church, when the believers, the disciples came together, they didn't come together in the temple. They came together to worship on the Lord's Day. So, read verse 6 again. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. We know Paul was a Baptist. Read the verse. He continued his speech until what time? And you thought I preached long. I only go to 12:30. He went to midnight. By the way, I put people to sleep. There's a couple people sleep every service, and I just say God bless them. But I've never put somebody to sleep, except one guy, I think, that fell out of his chair years ago. This poor guy was up in a window so he could get some oxygen, I guess, and he fell clean out on, you know, way down. I hope you don't sleep that soundly. I've only had two guys that slept that well, and they can sleep that well pretty much every place. Verse chapter 16, 1 Corinthians says this, now concerning the collection for the saints, this is giving, by the way, for poor folks that are in need for various reasons. He says, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the what? First day of the week. Everything was to be done on the first day of the week. So foundational to any corporate worship is we minimally, by the way, folks, we can have services on Monday night, Tuesday night, all that's fine. But minimally, we gather because that's the center of Christianity, is Christ and Him crucified and risen again. So we're always going to meet together on the Sunday, the first day of the week, as believers, as disciples. Revelation 1, verse 10, John uses a very, very unique phrase only found two times in the New Testament. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And that is very particular Greek. It's only found in one other place. It's the Lord's Supper. It's something unique to Him. So the first day of the week is the Lord's day. And we worship the Lord on that day. Now, let's stop. I'm going to say this. Since you are not as visible as you usually are, I can say it to you without saying it to you personally. If you allow your children to work on the Lord's Day, not go to church on the Lord's Day, you're always doing something else on the Lord's Day, traveling on the Lord's Day, you're setting your family up for failure. You are doing it yourself. We're no need to talk about the Lord's Day. By the way, you're already at church. I'm not mad at you. You must understand the Lord's Day must become central. I've had children too. I have a mean daughter over here. I got a nicer son most of the time down south side of Chicago. They didn't work on the Lord's Day. They didn't play on the Lord's Day. They didn't sleep in on the Lord's Day. They didn't go away to college on the Lord's Day and not go to church. They were in church on the Lord's Day. That's fundamental to worship. You, by the way, this is developed in a child from early on. You get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you take a shower. And guess what? On Sundays, the Lord's Day. It's part of your life. It's part of who you are. All right, we move on. The first element that is necessary for the church, the first element of worship that is non-negotiable is, number one, or A, the reading, explaining, and applying of Scripture. The reading, explaining, and applying of Scripture. It says in the text, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the teaching of the apostles. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 says this, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Lord's Supper, Paul preached unto them. Acts 17, even when he was evangelizing, he did the same thing. Now when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came into Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come. Stop. You don't see it anymore because now our kind of church has just about disappeared. You go try to find a church today and you're going to find it's going to be very difficult because frankly, this is this simple. You're used to being entertained. It becomes very obvious you're used to being entertained because thinking logically and sequentially is not a thing we can do anymore. Our minds do like this. Our minds are like TV. So in the 80s, it happened in California with Rick Warren. It happened right over here with Willow Creek, Bill Hybels. They came up with a new way of worship. And by the way, they built massive groups of people. Massive. And the first thing they did was, look at me, friend. This thing here was taken out of the services. I heard those men, not Rick Warren or Bill Hybels, but their disciples say this. They would laugh and say, "You will never hear this in our church. Please open your Bibles." You do understand there is no worship of God apart from the reading, explaining, and applying of Scripture. You say, I can see people. I know who in this room who hears and who doesn't. I understand why we want to do something else today. But here's our problem. We're talking about Christian worship. And in Christian worship, the foundation, we do it on the Lord's Day. But the big central element, 1 Timothy 4:13, I think it's back here. Till I come, Paul writes his apprentice Timothy, give attendance to what? Reading, the public reading of Scripture. Then he says exhortation, and then he says doctrine. I'm just going to change the order. We are to give attendance to the reading, explaining, that's doctrine, and applying, that's exhortation, of Scripture. That is to be central. So if you leave here, you say, what's worship? Some people here still think singing is, and singing is just one element. The central element throughout all of history is this book. It is opened, it is read, it is explained, it is applied. Is that easy today? Let me speak to Frenchie. The rest of you can listen in, because Frenchie knows these things. Frenchie likes weird stuff. My guess is he likes Star Trek. If you watch a Star Trek, are you all listening to me? The second, which was called Next Generation Star Trek. For you old people that don't know what that is, but you'll know this. If you buy those discs, of which I haven't, the episodes are 50 to 52 minutes long. Did everybody hear? Out of an hour. Do you know what a drama on television is today? 39 minutes. Maybe 40. It's according to how you count them showing you what's going to happen next. Dramas have dropped from 52 minutes to 39 minutes in 20 years. Do you know why? You can't pay attention to a program that long. And they have to do this. So churches have said, you know what? If people can't listen to the Bible, we'll just drop the Bible. Hey, I'm not being mean. Let's just go back to the Roman Catholic Church then. If you drop the Word of God out of a church, you are not worshiping the living God. Because central to worship is the, by the way, they, the church, continued steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles. Teaching, explaining, applying the Scripture. It's what we do. 4:16 says, and when this epistle is read among you, he's assuming when the epistle of Colossians got there, they were going to read it. He says, that it also be read in the church of Laodicea. 5:27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Revelation 1 and verse 3, blessed is he that readeth. It assumed that somebody got up in a church. By the way, no one had a whole Bible then. They would have portions. But the man at the pulpit would get up, he would open this scripture up, he would read it. Someone would read it, then explain it, and then apply it to the lives of people. It's what we've been doing in worship forever. It's what we do. All right, second element of Scripture. There are three or four of these that go together. The second element is found in Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The second essential element of a church coming together, please look at me, please get this, is not somebody up here praying for you. It's the church praying. It says they continued steadfastly in prayers. Not somebody up here did the magic. No, it's the church coming together on the Lord's Day, the reading, teaching, and applying of Scripture, and the church praying together. We can do this in different ways, but hear me. You and I have not worshiped God until you and I have heard the Word of God read, taught, and explained, and applied, and you and I have been involved in praying to the Lord. Sometimes I like it when we have a crisis because some of us wake up enough to say, I need to pray for this person. But every time we gather together, we are to be praying as a congregation. That is an element, an essential element of worship. The third element of worship, C, is singing to the Lord. Singing to the Lord. In Acts 2:46, it says, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat or food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. The praising and singing praise to God, what we do, is essential to worship. So the reading, teaching, and applying Scripture, praying to the Lord, singing to the Lord. Matthew 26 and verse 30 says, this is of course not a church service, but it talks about the Lord. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Paul is in prison in Acts 16:25, and it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Ephesians 5 gives us the full blossom, which I won't spend time talking about all the pieces. He says to the church, speaking to yourselves, you see, friend, when we're praying together and we're singing together, we have a piece of this that's to the Lord, and we have a piece of this that's for one another. It's something that we mutually encourage one another while we're singing to the Lord. Speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms, psalmos, the Greek word, psalms. Hymnos, hymns. Spiritual songs, the English word we get is odes from the Greek word ode. So all three words, we're to be speaking to ourselves what? In psalms, you know, the biblical psalms, hymns, hymns about God and Christ and what they have done, and spiritual songs. Then he uses two words. I think I've come to the conclusion that singing means simply that. Singing is a verb from the noun hode, and it means to sing unto the Lord, probably unaccompanied music. And then you have making melody, the same verbal form for psalmos, salo, and probably has the idea of you have both unaccompanied music and accompanied, or if you prefer, a cappella and music with instruments. And we do all of this to the Lord. So what is worship? Listen. It's not what I have heard in evangelical settings when you go to church and they said, now we're going to worship and then the preacher will come. Worship is this, friend. It's what we do, we, the church, in the reading, explaining, and applying of Scripture, singing as a group to the Lord, to the group praying to the Lord, and fourth, giving to the Lord. All of these are part of worship. So when we come together, we are in the process of hearing, having someone explain, having someone apply the Scripture, and we as a church are singing to the Lord, we as a church are praying to the Lord, and we as a church are giving to the Lord. That giving can happen in at least three forms. Tithing to support the ministry, giving to support missions, and at times sacrificing to help those who are poor or in need. In this text, it says, and all that believe were together and had all things common and sold their possessions, because people were in such dire straits. People were selling off pieces of property or things they had. Why? Because people had needs. 1 Corinthians 16 says, now concerning the collection for the saints. I mean, again, the whole church gathered together on the Lord's Day to gather money to help people in need. This is giving to the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, long section. Christy, I don't know how the verses are in the notes, but Paul is talking about the church at Philippi had been sending money to support his ministry, but there was not good communication. You didn't get on your cell phone. You didn't text. You didn't send an email. They had broken off. Somehow communication was broken. After a period of time, the church found out where Paul was, and they sent money to help him again. So he gives thanks to them and says many different things. But in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul says this, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus, the messenger, the things which were sent from you. And then he uses that beautiful language of the Old Testament, an odor or an aroma of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Hey, please look at me. Churches can do different things. When I was in India, there's many things I liked. There's one thing that's weird. Sam, you would be used to it. Ezra, you were used to it, I know. The women are on this side, the men are on this side. I didn't mind the women being on this side and the men on that side. That wasn't the problem. Do you know what my problem was, Sam? I couldn't figure out who was married to whom. You know, if I look around here, if you're sitting by your wife, you better be sitting by your wife. But there, it was like the women were over here and the men were over here. And I'm like, you know, I guess if you've been there every week, you knew who was married to whom, but I didn't know. It was very confusing to me. Is that a big deal? The answer is no. Hey, in India, you got to take your shoes off. Don't you take your shoes off in here. I don't want to smell your feet. And besides, you don't want your shoes off in here. It's cold outside. They took their shoes. By the way, is that okay? Yes or no? Yes. By the way, the elements of worship don't change. We find unity in the elements. So if I'm in India, I'm in the Philippines, I'm in Mexico, I'm in Venezuela, I've been in Romania, in Africa, the elements of worship are always there. What are they? Reading, explaining, and applying Scripture. Praying to the Lord as a body. Singing to the Lord as a body. Giving to the Lord as a body. There's a couple of other elements that are very important. The next one is greeting or fellowshipping one with another. Yes, this is part of worship. In some fashion, churches are different here. In some way, a church must greet one another or fellowship with one another in order for worship to have happened. Folks, if you're home and you're sick and you watch TV and you hear a good preacher preach, and I know there are some on TV that are good preachers, that's okay, but it's not worship in the same way, because you need to be with a body. And part of that body is, believe it or not, other people. And part of this is they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, that greeting one another, encouraging one another, interacting with one another. All of that is essential to worship. Some churches like ours, we're interacting before church service. We're interacting during church service. We're interacting after church service. Jean and I went to England to a Reformed Baptist church, good church. You walk in, when you enter the what they call the sanctuary, you don't talk. I like talking. I even like you talking back most of the time. Nancy's not here this morning, so I'm not getting much talking back. I like all of that. We went there. I still remember they had a little pamphlet. I don't know if you remember this or not, Jenny, and this is what it said. Before the service, talk to God. During the service, let God talk to you. After the service, talk to one another. That's okay. Because you're still doing what? Fellowshipping one with another. Hey, show me a person It's never in church. No, I didn't say at church. Never in church. Never fellowshipping. Look up here, folks, with one another. I'm going to show you a Christian struggling. Because worship is not something you can do by yourself in the sense of all the time. You must come together, and it's got to be centered on Scripture, praying to the Lord, singing to the Lord, giving to the Lord, and fellowshipping with one another. I have the verses in your notes. Please don't practice this afternoon. Salute one another with a holy kiss. And if you do that to me, I'm going to salute you with a holy hit. 1 Corinthians 16:20, all the brethren greet you. Greet you one another with a holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians 5:26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. 1 Peter 5:14, greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Whatever that means, it is something intimate. It's something we must do. It's not something that we stand over in the corner and sit down and say, nobody spoke to me today. Wait a minute. This is a command to every person in this room. You haven't worshiped until you're interacting with people. So if you isolate yourself, you're not part of worship. The elements of worship are commanded in the Scripture. So may I say this to you? Get with it. Quit waiting on people to come up and say how wonderful you are. You go greet people. That's what the Bible commands. This is worship. What else is worship? The last element of worship in the Bible. And by the way, this is all worship is. You won't find any dancing teams. Hello? Hello? You won't find anybody swaying up front. Actually, church services are very simple in the Bible. It's all about, look at me, you. The only thing that somewhat stands outside of you is the man who proclaims the Scripture. Past that, and even he's part of the group, you are singing to the Lord. You are giving to the Lord. You are praying to the Lord. You are fellowshipping one with another. The last element, of course, F, are observing the two ordinances. You say, what are the two ordinances? It tells us in Acts 2:41. They that gladly received his word were what? They were baptized. I think last week we had a baptism of a believer by immersion at the end of the church service. That's an element of worship. It'd be nice if we could do that every week. We had that many people saved. But we're going to baptize by immersion only believers, as far as we can tell and ascertain. What else? The Lord's Supper, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. Breaking of bread is the Lord's Supper. And you say, Pastor, how do you know? It's not the word bread, it's the word breaking. That's the key. They could eat food and bread at any time, but the breaking of bread symbolizes Christ's broken body. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to do what? To break bread. Yes, that is an essential element of worship. So if you say to me, Pastor, what's worship? Please look at me. If I walk into a church service, any place on earth, I look for two things. I look for, number one, all of the elements to be present, and number two, nothing added. I don't want to see stripper poles, do you? I don't want to see craft beer. I don't want to hear about dancing girls, so all the guys are Googling and ogling them. You say, but Pastor, we have a bigger church than you. No, you have a bigger gathering. And frankly, at a Super Bowl, there's a bigger gathering too. And at a football game, there's a bigger gathering, but it's not Christian. We're talking about Christian worship. What is it? It's the reading, explaining, and applying of Scripture. It is the church singing to the Lord. It is the church praying to the Lord. It is the church giving to the Lord. It is the church fellowshipping, encouraging, sharpening, all that human interaction. It is also the ordinances, which would be the Lord. You don't have any idea. By the way, am I upset? When I was younger, I would be fuming, not at you, but that it wasn't here. But I assume the Lord has his own purposes. We would have the Lord's Supper this morning. That's an element of worship. By the way, don't you ever leave this church and say, we're going to sing now, it's time to worship. Worship is what God's people do. People can't do worship for you. Nobody on a platform worships for you. It's what you and I do together as a body. That is what worship is. The elements of worship. The accidents of worship change from place to place. Timing of services, how long the services are, how many songs, how many sermons. But the elements are not allowed to change. We must have teaching, reading, teaching, and applying of Scripture, singing to the Lord, giving to the Lord, praying to the Lord. We must have fellowship one with another. We must observe the two ordinances that God gave us, the Lord's Supper on an ongoing basis, and baptism on an ongoing basis as is necessary and we have the opportunity. We move to point number three. The elements are not the accidents. There is a big difference between the elements which are required in Scripture and the accidents. If you go to a church where they don't wear shoes in the service, look at me. What do you do when you go there? Take your shoes off. Is that essential? It's what they do. And when they come here, I think, Ezra, do you have your shoes on this morning? Ezra, I want to say this to you. Thank you. I'm glad you do. Otherwise, your feet might be frozen stiff. What about this? I prefer families to sit together. Is that required in Scripture? What does the Scripture require? Nothing. So we could have this church, if you want to tonight, we'll have women on one side and the men on the other side. How would that be? It'd be weird, wouldn't it? But I've been in those churches. Romania, they tend to do it that way. Lydia, is that correct? In Romania, are the ladies on this side and the men on this side? Same, yeah. You say, are you okay with that? We're not going to do it. I like families to be together. By the way, I don't prefer teenagers to be by themselves, but that's just me. Hey, when we leave here this morning, we're going to do fellowship. And I'm done in just a minute. Please hear me. I prefer shaking hands, side hugs. I don't really prefer front-to-front hugging. I can already feel Rolando coming my direction. And I already have something saved up for him. When I was in India, what do they do, brother? What do they say? I can't hear you. What? Say it. What do they say when they bow? I don't know. You tell me. I don't know. The ladies kept bowing to me, and it's like I didn't know if I was supposed to. And I always had something in my hands. It's like I always said, is it proper to do, half with half a hand? I didn't know. Some of the women would shake my hand. The guys would always shake my hand. Is that good or bad? That's cultural. I know in Thailand they only use one hand and they do this. Some countries they bow, and whoever's the lesser is supposed to bow, really bow. And, I'm like, I don't know. I'm old. I can't even bow that far, so that wouldn't work. I learned in church service recently from Lord Linda Go. I think it was from you, Linda. I always knew when I got the handshake like this. The first time Ade did that to me, I think I said, I thought he hurt his arm. I thought, what is he holding his hand arm for? And then I realized, takes me a few years, that was being respectful. But now I have learned that who should put out their hand first, Linda? So you don't just stick your hand out to a person, you have to wait till they put their hand out, and then you do that. Is that okay? And the answer is yes. Because that's not an element of worship, friend. If I was in Cameroon, in a Cameroonian church, I would do exactly as everybody did. Why? Because that is just cultural and that's beautiful. Friend, there are the elements of worship. We find unity in the elements. There are the accidents of worship that churches are going to vary on a little bit. And that is fine. I'll say one thing and be done. Point number four. You all see that? Do you see it? Yes or no? You know the most beautiful thing about biblical worship? Please look at me. Some of you haven't heard a thing I've said, but I'll just repeat it all. You ready? I can take this Bible and preach the Word of God in any language on earth. Yes or no? We can have biblical worship in any place and in any country and any language because what? It only takes the Word of God, people being saved, which are then, they can pray to God. Yes or no? They can sing to the Lord, yes or no. They can give to the Lord. They can fellowship one with another. Hey, it's beautiful. They can observe the ordinances. And you know what's interesting? You can take that any place. I don't need anything. You say, what about the drums? You're not hearing what's being said. I don't care if you have, listen, I go to Franco's church. That church is loud. Whew, the preaching is loud. The singing is loud. Everything is loud. You say, are you okay with that? As long as I'm there. When I get done, I have to say, honey, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hey, I don't care. But drums are not worship. Organs are not worship. Pianos are not worship. The church worships God according to the scripture. And that can be taken any place. So if you go to a remote tribe someplace and you're going to be a missionary, how do you teach them to worship? Starts with this. People get saved. Then they get baptized. Then they take of the Lord's Supper, the ordinances. And guess what? Then every week they're hearing the Word of God, read, taught, and applied. And then they're praying, they're singing, they're giving, they're fellowshipping. Wow, they have biblical worship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Bless these truths to our hearts.